Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd make your way over to Matthew chapter 22, that's going to be our text today. Good to see Sister Candy with us, praise God, all the way from Houston, Texas. Matthew 22 is our text. We'll begin in verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. You know, people can say this and still not be saved. People can say, well, I know the Lord is real. I know the Lord is true. But these are a bunch of sneaky folks who are trying to trip the Lord up or catch him in some way. They're not earnest. They're not sincere, even though what they say is true. We know that you speak the truth, Lord, and all the while they're devils. We know you teach the way of God in truth. You know, the devil can say that too. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. The idea is we know that you're impartial. We know that you don't favor one over another. You're not somebody who's impressed by somebody's prestige or their standing or their money or whatever. That doesn't impress the Lord at all. We know that you're not like that. So tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? What is your opinion here? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Here's their question. Is it lawful for us, lovers of God, Jews, Christians, is it lawful for us to give tribute? The word here is the Greek word kinsos. It's where we get our word census from. Is it lawful for us to pay the census tax? That's what they were upset about. They didn't want to pay this tax. It was something imposed by the Romans every single year. You had to pay the Roman tax. They didn't want to pay it. They were loyalists to Israel. So do we have to pay this tax to this oppressive Roman government? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. See, what's the right answer here? The right answer is, well, yeah, you know, pay the tax. Well, you want us to pay taxes to the Romans who oppress us, who do things with the money that is anti-God, and you're wanting us to support that? Or if he says no, then you're fostering rebellion against Caesar and their whole system of taxation, which supports the whole government. So what's the right answer? What's the wrong? These were tricky little devils, see. So Jesus, perceiving their wickedness, he said, why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. Show me the census money. And they brought unto him a penny, the Greek word a denarian, the coin of the realm, Roman coin. He said unto them, whose is this image and inscription? Whose image is this on the coin? Just like our coins, it's a president, a dead one. Well, there was a, whenever the Caesars were in office, they always had coins under their realm, under their reign, engraved with their image. Tiberius Caesar was a emperor at this time. And by the way, few men on earth were more depraved sexually than Tiberius Caesar. But he is reigning. He said, whose image is this? They said, Caesar's. So he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They weren't too happy with his answer, because they really didn't get to trip him up like they wanted to. Render, the word means to pay or to pay back or to pay what you owe, pay what is due. It means to deliver, to give back. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. I want to look at these two things, but I won't be able to do it all today. Today I want to talk about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And next time I want to talk about rendering unto God what is God's. Rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and then rendering unto God what is God's. The way this word render, again, is translated elsewhere in the Bible, just simply means to make payment or to give or to deliver or to repay. The Lord himself, in very plain language, answers the question that these men brought to him. He said, give to Caesar, pay Caesar what is his or what is his due. In fact, it conveys the idea not only of giving him what is his, but paying what it is our duty to pay. That's the idea here. The census tax, taxes, pay your taxes. Of course, you know, we also owe more to the Lord. We owe our obligation towards Caesar to obey, to submit to the government and so forth, lest our society deteriorate into total anarchy. Romans 13 is something that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He wrote concerning the Christian's duty. I'm going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 13. If you would like, you can turn there with me, but keep your finger right where we are. But in Romans 13, listen to Paul's words to the church, how we're supposed to act towards our government, how we're supposed to respond, or what is our responsibility to them, even if the government is oppressive. He says, Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, the higher powers. That's what it means, the governing authorities. Let every soul, that means it's incumbent on everyone, every soul, not most of you, some of you, those who feel like it, but let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. You will have praise of the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We do have the benefit of government, the advantage of a social order. You might not be happy with the way it is, and it's it is a broken world, and we admit it's not as good as it could be. It's not as bad as it could be. You might think it's terrible, but it could be worse. Let me tell you what could be worse. No government. It could be like Syria. Or it could be like Iraq. It could be like countries where there are roving bands of armed men who simply take what they choose because there is no law. There is no police. It could be worse. You might not like the way the government spends your money, but you are obligated to pay your taxes. That's what the Bible says. I had somebody tell me not long ago, well, it's probably been a couple years ago, actually, but he said, you know, the Lord showed me that we don't have to pay taxes to an oppressive government. I said, the Lord didn't tell you that. He said, the Lord showed me. I said, the Lord didn't tell you that. The Lord's not going to contradict himself. Romans chapter 13, you better read Romans 13. He says, you obey, You pay your taxes. That's what God says. And if you're hearing something that God's telling you something else, that's not God. Amen. You're hearing some voice, but it's the voice of your flesh that don't like paying taxes. I don't like paying taxes either. But I swallow hard and praise God that He gives me the ability to come up with it every time it comes due. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's what he says right here. You know what I think of when I read this? If you're obeying the law, it's not a problem. But when you're going 75 and a 55 and you see the police car up there and you screech on your brakes because you're hoping the radar didn't get you. See, then the Bible says you want to be unafraid, then do what's right. If you do evil, be afraid, because they don't bear the sword in vain. That means they have the authority not only to give you a summons, give you a ticket, but to haul you to jail. We have a benefit to conduct business here in an orderly manner. There are thieves, there are problems, absolutely. That's going to be true in every government, in every society. But we do have an advantage of a lawful society, and of all people, Christians should be law abiders, not law breakers. Anarchy steals order. And the last thing that a Christian should be accused of is anarchy. Verse 2, he says, notice again, therefore, whoever resists the authority, the word resist means to oppose. It actually means to set yourself in array against. To put yourself in array against the authorities, the governing authorities. Now, you don't think a Christian would do that, right? Let me tell you, there are movements within the ranks of Christendom to incite Christians to oppose their own government, to defy government, to refuse to pay taxes. Every now and then these guys will, they used to anyway, they're all in jail now, but they used to hold seminars on how you can get away without ever paying income tax. And they'll tell you, it's illegal to pay income tax. The government can't force you to. No, they're in jail now, these guys. So you don't do well to listen to anarchists. You know, a rebel, what does a rebel do? They rebel. And what do they rebel against? Authority. Of course, they might say we have to rebel in order to improve the society. But according to God, you rebel in order to subvert. Not to improve, to subvert. And the Bible says you bring upon yourself, notice, condemnation. The word means judgment. The word means punishment. Punishment both by the law. The law punishes rebels. But not just by the law, you know, you can bring upon yourself divine punishment. First, because you're rebelling against God who established authority. Hello.
Amen.
How about Jude? Remember the passages in Jude where he talks about those wicked dreamers who despise dominion and are not afraid to speak evil of dignities? The Bible says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? They despise dominion. They refuse to be governed. They're ungovernable. Pretty strong. Then you've got 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or us unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Amen.
Honor means respect. Nero, by the way, was king when these things were written. Nero was emperor. But a reminder again of the Lord's words, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be an anarchist, not a civil revolutionary, not a rebel against the government. I remind myself that we are strangers here, we are pilgrims here, that we are passing through here. Our lives are lived here, but we're not of here. This is not our home, not our country. We just live here. We enjoy its benefits. We pay our taxes. We give Caesar what is Caesar's, but we remind ourselves we're not permanent residents here. We're temporary residents. You're like a foreigner in a foreign land. You're visiting. I always remind myself that it's too easy to get entangled in the things, the wrangling, the struggles, the politics of this world. I remind myself, Rusty, you have to be about the king's business. Preach the gospel. Shine the light. It's a dark world. Let's not get entangled in all of the boondoggle of these other things. It's too easy to fall into the trap of just railing against authority, murmuring against the government, complaining about the taxes. Look, there's a lot of things we can all complain about. Y'all awake? There's a lot of things. If we let ourselves, we can become very negative people. We can complain about everything. We can just grumble and murmur and be mad at everybody all the time. And just wear a perpetual grimace. But we have to remind ourselves, this is what God says. You have to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to follow what the Bible says or what your feelings dictate? Or what some rabble-rouser dictates? We drive across roads, bridges that are maintained by government money. We have a police force that maintains law and order. You call them up, and most of the time they'll come. Yeah, right. Depending on where you live. Yeah. Call the fire department, they'll show up. You know, these are things that are all supported by our government. We like the security of having a military that protects America's borders, paid for by your tax dollars. So let's remember, Rusty, shut up, pay your taxes, quit complaining, be thankful that the Lord provides, and consider yourself privileged to live here. For all of its brokenness, for all of its problems, praise God that we live here, where we can still assemble like this. Nobody followed you here to arrest you for going to church. So we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's what the Lord tells us to do. Here's where the problem comes in. When Caesar demands that we render unto him what is God's. See, we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but we do not render unto Caesar what is God's. Caesar will not dictate to the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who he can worship, how he can worship, or where he can worship. Amen. Although they have tried to do that many times through the years and punish those who disobeyed. And let me tell you, Caesar has demanded worship in the past himself. Records of church history are filled with accounts of how dearly many Christians have paid for their refusal to render to Caesar what is God's and paid for it with their lives. By the end of the first century, it was compulsory for citizens to burn incense to Caesar. That was compulsory. And if that wasn't enough, you had to go before a statue, burn a little incense, which was an act of worship. But not only that, but you had to say, Caesar is Lord. Christians wouldn't do it. They said that would be idolatry for them. Now, if you didn't do it, your properties were confiscated, you were scourged, and killed. Because you were considered a traitor to the empire. If you didn't swear your homage and allegiance to Caesar, you were a traitor and a rebel. You know, here's the odd thing. Christians then, just like Christians now, are the best citizens in the land. The best citizens. Because they actually work. They had a work ethic. That means they worked. They were productive citizens. They paid their own way.
Yes.
They were generous. They were kind. They were good neighbors to be around. They were godly. They obeyed the law. They weren't problems at all. But they were labeled the rebels because they refused to honor Caesar in this way and pay homage to him. Let me read something to you from Eusebius, one of the very first church historians. He said, speaking of one of the persecutions, those standing around were struck with amazement at seeing them lacerated with scourges to their very blood and arteries, so that now the flesh concealed in the very inmost parts of the body was exposed to view. They then were laid upon conch shells from the sea and on sharp heads and points of spears, and after passing through every kind of punishment and torment, were at last thrown as food to wild beasts. He's talking about what they did to the Christians. Some were strapped on the rack, a wheel about 2 feet wide and 8 feet tall, their ankles chained to the floor, wrists tied to the wheel, and every time the believer was asked to deny the Lord and refuse, the rack was tightened until he was ripped from limb to limb. Other Christians were thrown into boiling oil or slowly broiled over fires. Children were brutally murdered in front of their parents. Parents were murdered in front of their children. Some were cut in little pieces and bled to death. Others were poisoned. Women and children raped, hung up on hooks, thrown off of cliffs, skinned alive, starved to death, placed in sacks with poisonous snakes, sewn into bloody animal skins and thrown to wild dogs, impaled on stakes, coated with tar, and set afire to light the Colosseums by night. And you know why? Because they would not render to Caesar what is God's. Because you see, worship is for God alone. We worship the Lord. We don't worship Caesar. We will respect Caesar. We will pay our taxes to Caesar. We will obey Caesar until Caesar tells us we must render to him what is God's. There are things Christians will not do, even if it costs them their lives. These are terrible things that happened in church history, and I have pages here that I could read from Fox's Book of Martyrs and some of the terrible things that Christians have suffered because they would not surrender the truth of the Bible no matter what Caesar demanded. What about us? I'll tell you, right here in the United States, we have an increasing tide that's against Christianity and against godliness. Will we surrender the truth of the Bible to the current immoral mood of society? Let me tell you, churches all over America have choices to make, and all over Europe right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, according to the London Telegraph, Denmark declared that churches must marry homosexual couples. Now, this is what they declared to all churches: no exceptions, no exemptions, no options, no choices. Homosexuals have the right to demand to be married at any church in the country. And it doesn't matter what that church believes. It doesn't matter whose conscience is trampled or whose sanctuary is defiled. Churches are required to comply. Now, the churches in Denmark are pretty liberal for the most part, but there have to be Christians there. And those Christians are going to find themselves in absolute conflict with their government because there are things we cannot render to Caesar. We cannot render to Caesar what is God's. We cannot willfully, we must not willfully deny what Scripture says. And I don't know what the penalty will be for those churches that refuse to comply. But Denmark is about to find out that if there are Christians there, they are going to be the best citizens in the country opposing their own government because they will not comply to this mandate. Do you think something like that could ever happen here? I could easily foresee a time where something similar could happen here, if not identical, at least something similar. I can easily foresee where churches will be threatened with their tax-exempt status if they do not comply to these demands. You know, your tax-exempt status, the government gives this to us, and they are already under attack because churches don't pay taxes on their income. Unlike a business, if you are a businessman, you pay taxes on everything you earn. Churches do not pay taxes on their income. So everything that comes into the church is not taxed. Now, of course, if we buy things, we pay taxes, sales tax, and so forth. We don't pay property tax on this land that we occupy. And we don't pay income tax. We are required to keep records, but we don't have to turn them in unless they ask for them. Let me tell you, that's a huge benefit that churches have. Huge benefit. I foresee, I'm not going to prophesy it, but I can tell you that 501c3 tax exempt status is endangered. I believe you could already put it on the endangered species list because it's not going to be long before the government will take that away. They will say that they are subsidizing religion. They're already saying it. And they'll take that away. And when they take it away, it means all of the income churches receive will be treated like a business. That means we'll have to pay taxes like any other company or business or whatever. Also, it means that the land that you sit on will become taxable. Every year you pay property tax. Now, I know what I pay for property tax every year just in my house right over there in Kent. And I have to swallow hard every time I write the check out. But, you know, that's part of rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But could you imagine what we'd have to pay sitting on all of this land that we sit on? It's a block long. We'd be paying the equivalent of what every house on that whole street over there pays on this side. We'd be paying that equivalent. Once the government starts taking away tax-exempt status, threatening to take it away, if you don't render unto Caesar what is God's, they start taking these statuses. How many churches are going to be able to survive? Really and truly. I'll tell you, churches all over the country will be in big trouble. Right now, homosexual marriage is legal in 19 states. Kentucky just threw down their anti-homosexual marriage ban, so it'll probably number 20. Just last week, the Presbyterian Church USA voted to change the definition of marriage. Now, here's an entire denomination, 1.7 million members. 1.7 million members of Presbyterian Church USA said that marriage is not between a man and a woman. That's what it always read. But now they say, no, it's between two people. So marriage can be between any two people. And they claim that they got this, they decided to change this after much prayer and discernment. I like what Michael Brown said. That's not discernment. That's deception. And I'll tell you what else it is. It's apostasy. As they follow many, many others who are already on that track, the Reformed Jews, the Unitarian Church, the United Churches of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, several others, the United Methodists are not far behind, and there will be others. I like what the Presbyterian Lay Council said, I want to read something that they said. They opposed this move by their denomination. The Lay Council opposed it. That's something all of the so-called clergy, these are the spiritually bankrupt ones, while the lay people who still have conservative, God-fearing Bible views oppose it. Here's what they said. They wrote a letter encouraging the members of the denomination, do not send any more money to the General Assembly. Don't support your denomination anymore. Don't send them any more money. And then they wrote this: God will not be mocked. And those who substitute their own felt desires for God's unchangeable truth will not be found guiltless before a holy God. Boy, what a great statement. I'm going to read it again. It was so good, I'm going to read it again. They said, God will not be mocked. And those who substitute their own felt desires for God's unchangeable truth will not be found guiltless before a holy God. You know, felt desires, everything now is changing because of what you feel. You know, I just feel this is right. You know, it doesn't matter what biology tells you, what thousands of years of history tells you. Doesn't matter what common sense tells you. Two men do not make a family. Biology tells you that. Common sense tells you that. The Bible tells you that. But by the grace of God, we will render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. By the grace of God, we will pay our taxes. We will do our best by the grace of God to honor those men and women whose personal lives are dishonorable. In fact, many of whom their personal lives are absolutely despicable. And yet God tells us we must honor the authority. We must honor the office. We must honor the position, because to do otherwise would be rebellion on our part and anarchy on our part, and would put us at odds with order, the order that God has ordained for society. So by the grace of God, and look, we need this grace of God. I need it. I confess that I need it to respect those that are in authority. You're right. Because there are things they do that I find horrendous. Yeah, there are things they promote and support that I find depraved. And yet the Bible tells me that the powers that be, the governing authorities, are there by divine decree. Therefore, we will, by the grace of God, respect them. Amen. Honor authority. Pray for those in authority. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Pray for those in authority. And we will render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That is, we will pay our taxes, and I will do my best to do it with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. Thankful that I can write the check out, swallow hard and write the government out a check. I don't want to pay anything more than I have to, but praise God that we can pay what we have to. You know, in the 2nd century B.C., there was a Syrian king, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who was a brutal, ungodly antichrist. He did everything he could to exterminate the Jewish religion. He waged war against Judaism and devastated Jerusalem, defiled the temple, put a pig on the altar of Jerusalem's temple, put in a statue of Jupiter, forbade the Jews to practice their religion. Now, this is B.C. This is a couple hundred years before Christ. Forbade the Jews to practice their religion. If you circumcised your son, you would be executed. You know, that was the seal of Judaism, circumcision. Jews were sold off into slavery. Scripture was forbidden, and they burned every copy they could get. And if you were caught with a copy of the Scripture, you were executed. Wow. If you held on to a Bible. That's a pretty brutal regime. It led to the Maccabean Revolt. If you ever get a chance to read the book of 2 Maccabees, it talks a little bit about Judas the Hammer, the Maccabean Revolt. Very interesting story. But, you know, that persecution was just one of many that would follow. The Christians were persecuted under Nero, terrible persecutions. There were terrible persecutions under Domitian, the Roman emperor. Tacitus, the Roman historian, wrote about some of these persecutions under Nero. Can I read just a little bit? This is from, now look, this is not from a Christian source. This is from a secular historian. Nero. He's writing here. Let me just read this. He said, "Therefore, to stop the rumor that he had set Rome on fire, he, that is Emperor Nero, falsely charged the Christians with guilt and punished them with the most fearful tortures." He talks about Christus, the founder of the religion, was put to death as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea in the reign of Tiberius. But the pernicious superstition, he called it, repressed for a time, broke out yet again, not only through Judea where the mischief originated, but through the city of Rome also. And then it goes on and talks about how the burning of Rome was blamed on the Christians and how they were put to death. And their charge, the charge against them was they hated the human race. In their deaths, they were made the subject of sport. They were covered with the hides of wild beasts and worried to death by dogs. They were nailed to crosses. They were set afire. When the day waned, they were burned to serve for evening lights. Excuse me. There are reports under Domitian of some of the horrible deaths that Christians suffered. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Any of you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Heard of it? Let me issue a challenge. F-O-X, Fox. There is a book that's been in publication for, I can't even remember when it was first published, Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a history of the persecution of the Christian church. I recommend you find it. You can buy it online, order it anywhere online, probably download it to your Kindle or whatever most people have. Or you can buy the old-fashioned battery-not-required book. But I recommend you get a copy. And I recommend that about once a week you pick it up and read a little bit from it. You can't read a whole lot because it is so horrible. But it speaks of the horrible atrocities perpetuated against Christians because of their faith in Christ. The world has been very, very intolerant of Christ. Remember the Lord said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. You know, the church has been persecuted through the centuries and is suffering horrible persecution right now in many parts of the world. Intolerance for Christians is something that can build up gradually, intolerance, hatred, and so on, but it can also spring up almost instantly, it seems like. This inexplicable hatred for Christ, you see it when you read the Gospels, when suddenly there's a mob that's clamoring for the crucifixion of Christ. Crucify him, crucify him. Well, let me give to you Christ, and we'll crucify Barabbas. No. Give us. We'd rather have Barabbas. Give us Barabbas, crucify Christ. It's unexplainable. The hatred, the intolerance, the vehement desire to see Christ dead, it's demonic. It's the same demonic hatred you see in the faces of rebels when they show rebellion all over the world on TV, whether it's the militant jihadist, or wherever they're showing this militancy, it's the same demon. Rebellion, defiance, hatred. You see it. You and I, we really can't imagine the nightmarish circumstances that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ that they live under, especially if you lived in a Muslim nation where there is such intolerance towards Christianity, the cruelties that Christians suffer, the tortures they endure, a bullet in the head, a bullet in the heart, beheadings, amputations. I mean, it's right now in North Korea, 70,000 Christians are being held in concentration camps in North Korea.
Wow.
Right now. In Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Yemen, other countries like that, if you convert to Christianity, your own family will kill you.
Yep.
Your own family. And they'll think that they're doing good by doing so. Convert to Christ, and they will track you down and kill you. In Syria, Christians are abducted routinely, tortured, killed. Churches are burned. It's a very, very difficult place to be a Christian. Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Maldives, Iran. The whole world is, it seems like, is up in arms against Christ. Right now, I read a report, I think, Wednesday night, that right now 50 million people are refugees, more people than at any time in human history, except for during World War II when there were 51 million refugees. Right now, 50 million refugees, in that number increasing every day. And you know, many Christians are among those refugees. Christians, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are having to flee Egypt, having to flee Somalia, having to flee Yemen, having to flee any country, any of these oppressive countries, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and so forth, fleeing for their safety, fleeing for their lives. Well, here's something else the Lord said. When they persecute you in one country, flee to another. They persecute you in one place, flee to another.
Amen.
And he also said that the student is not above his master. So if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If persecution comes, that kind of persecution, then flight is not cowardice. Flight is prudent. That's what you do. You know, when Herod sent his soldiers to kill the Christ child, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, Herod sending his soldiers to kill the Christ child. So you and Mary flee to Egypt. Go to Egypt and stay there until the dangers passed, and after Herod died, they were able to come back. But isn't it interesting that he said, flee. Flee the persecution. He didn't say, look, gather up around you a group to resist the government, and let's see if we can overthrow this government.
Amen.
Y'all awake?
Yeah.
He didn't say, anarchy's the answer. He said, flee. We do pray for our government. I know that that's our call as Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore, first of all, that prayers, supplications, giving prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for them. Unless we are compelled by our government to disobey Christ, to disobey the Lord, to disobey our Master, to disobey our Savior, and then we respectfully disobey Caesar in order to render our obedience, we submit to the higher authority. And you may have to suffer the consequences for doing that. But y'all all awake.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. You know, some rabble rousers poked the king Nebuchadnezzar till he passed a law and said, okay, it's going to be illegal for anybody to pray to any god except me. No prayer to no other god, just me. And once the law was passed, this unalterable law of the Medes, then you know what happened? Daniel went home, and as was his practice, he did this every day of his life. He went home, and in his house with the shutters open where people could see, he prayed to God like he always did. He didn't shake his fist at the government and said, I defy you, but he disobeyed and rendered his submission to a higher authority. He prayed anyway. And he knew there would be consequences. He was arrested. He was brought before Nebuchadnezzar and thrown into a den of lions that he petted, I guess, all night.
Thank you, Lord.
Because God protected him.
Yes.
But you know, there's always the possibility that if you disobey the government, that day could come. And if we are called upon to do so, we should do so respectfully. And yet we have to stand on the scripture. We have to stand on the word of God. And we have to realize there may be consequences. You know, God may deliver you like he did Daniel. Or he may not. Remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they wouldn't worship the image, they said, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace. And so they said, okay. They said, but this is what they said. Daniel chapter 3. God, our God, can deliver us, even if you throw us into this furnace. But if not, we still are not going to bow to this image, and we're still not going to worship it. He may deliver us, but he may not. And if he don't, we're still not going to bow to this image. So the Lord did deliver them. But you know, I read some of the accounts from the persecutions under Nero, the persecutions under Domitian, the persecutions under Antiochus Epiphanes, and the persecutions that are going on right now all over the world. Many are not being delivered. Many are not being delivered from these horrible atrocities, but they're being delivered to them. And they are learning what the Bible has told us all along, that we're not to count this life as dear or precious. We're to remember we're just here for a short time. We're here to glorify God, honor God, serve God, live for God. And if he allows this life to be snatched away from us, so be it. They love not their lives unto death, Revelation chapter 12. We'll render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, as long as we are able. But we will never render unto Caesar what is God's. And that means our worship, our absolute allegiance, our absolute loyalty. I mean, we would never be disloyal to our country, you know, sell it out to traitors or anything else. But at the same time, let's remember, we have our highest allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word, no matter what the government dictates. The government could impose all kinds of laws upon us. I mean, they could strip away our 501c3 status if you won't comply to the mandates to marry two women or two men or whatever other despicable thing they may want to impose upon us. And if they take it away, it's just stuff. It's just a building.
Right.
You've heard the expression, well, you know, the government can have my gun when they pry it out of my cold, dead hand. What are you going to do if the government comes for your gun? Somebody asked me that a while back. What are you going to do, Brother Rusty, if the government comes, they want to take away your guns? I'm going to give them my guns. I'll give them to them. And I won't even hide one. I'll give them every one of them. I'm not going to fight the government over a gun.
Amen.
I'm a gun owner. I like to shoot guns. I like to shoot little animals sometimes, you know. Not dogs or cats, you know, but a duck maybe now and then, a dove or something to eat. But if the government was to come and say, you give up all your guns, I'd give up every one of them. If they came, I'd give up my fishing poles if they required it. I would. I wouldn't even hide one. Now, what about this, though? What if they come and they say, you give up your Bibles? See, there are some things I can't render to Caesar. In many parts of the world, you have a Bible, that's an automatic death sentence. Automatic death sentence. Many parts of the world. Could that ever happen here? Not under the current Constitution. But who's to say? It's already eroding fast. I think Americans are losing their rights faster than they realize. But you know what? This is going to happen. This is all part of it. Very soon a world leader will emerge. And our government, like many others, will unite with this world leader, this powerful, dynamic, charismatic figure who will bring the world into great tribulation. The Bible says this will come to pass, beloved. In the meantime, we can't be at war with civil government, civil law. We cannot be anarchists. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. We are loyalists, loyal to Christ and obedient to the laws. We of all people should be model citizens. But the day will come when this world will turn against you. The Lord said it to his disciples. He says it to us. Don't listen to the rabble-rousers. More and more of them are popping up on the radio. Those who recommend rebellion against, you know, don't pay your taxes and so forth. Believe me, that's not the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the spirit of Antichrist, spirit of anarchy. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and pray, Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come. Come quickly, Lord. Come soon. Deliver us from this present evil world. In the meantime, let's shine like lights. Let's be honorable men and women. Let's do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We don't do what we can get away with when it's crooked. You think, I can get away with it. You're not getting away with anything. Do the right thing. Pay your taxes. Yes, claim it all. If you've ever been audited, Lord knows that's a experience there you don't want to have to go through. But pay your taxes, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, live with a clear conscience.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Do the right thing. And render unto God what is God's. Father, we pray today that you would give us hearts, Lord, hearts that want to be compliant. Lord, remove from us the defiance, the rebellion, the stubbornness, the self-will, Lord. The things that resist authority. Lord, we recognize that the Bible says that that resistance is not from you. That we ought to be submissive to authority. So help us, Lord, to have this kind of compliant spirit. Lord, help us to be first and foremost loyal to you, to your word, your truth, your way, your will. Help us, Lord, to be loyal servants and followers of Christ. Lord, help us to be model citizens. Help us, Lord Jesus, to raise our families and govern ourselves in such a way that would bring honor to you and be a blessing to our society. We pray for our country. We pray for those in authority here. Forgive us, Lord, of speaking ill. Lord, let us not be among those who are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Let us, Lord Jesus, restrain our tongues. Let us, Lord Jesus, use our tongues to pray for those in authority. And Father, let the cry be ever on our lips, come, Lord Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen, amen. Amen. And you can see that